Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Have you ever thought of no phones, no computers, no tablets, no internet, no TV, no screens? Are you scared yet? Well, this is the idea of Jeff Stearns in the 48-hour digital fast. Find out why it's so important and how you can get back in control of your relationship with your device and technology. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is the founder of the 48-hour digital fast, Jeff Stearns. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
You know, this is an interesting topic. We're talking really about companies and organizations and their digital health. You know, today, with everybody having a smartphone in their hand, with everybody having the ability to be on their devices, if you want to say almost 24/7, heck, most of the kids I know sleep with their phones next to their beds or under their pillow, or I found some kids falling asleep with it in their hands. You know, this is probably something that is more needed than ever, but we just don't talk a lot about. Why is that?
Well, And I would just add to what you said, it's not just kids who fall asleep with their with their phones in their hands. It's a lot of adults too. I mean, I think one reason why you're definitely starting to see more people and hear more people talking about this, but I think one reason why it's not necessarily something that is on everyone's radar is that it's still so new. I think that, you know, I mean, if you're a teenager now, you grew up with this and you don't know the world any differently. But those of us who have been around longer can very well remember 10 years ago when no one had a smartphone and no one had a tablet. And it's I think we're all kind of catching up with the major way this has changed all of our lives. And we're sort of making it up as we go. So there's not the kind of rules, manners, etiquette, and even health guidelines in place that we would have with something that is slower to develop. So I don't think we really know what effects this has on our brain, our body, our sort of social lives, our relationships, and we're starting to learn about that.
Well, I love on your website the first thing that comes up, and this is at 48, the number 48 hour, digitalfast.com. It says, if a tree falls in the woods and no one tweets about it, does it make a sound? And the real question is, my answer would be, it depends on who's tweeting about it, I think would be the answer to that question. Today, it's coming at you at all points. You know, one of the things that I hear from HR professionals, business leaders, is that the ability for a client, a customer, to connect with me has never been greater, right? The ability for the guarantee of information that I can output about my organization, about my HR department, about when I'm recruiting and so forth. But on the same time, it never seems to stop. There's always something coming in at you. There's always another piece of data or information, whether it's social media, whether it's email, whether it's texting, whether it's a phone call. How does somebody really look at this and say, how do I get this in check?
Right. Well, I think that this is really the challenge, and this is what one of the big things I talk to companies about is, you know, the name of my business is 48 Hour Digital Fast, which it came about as a result of me. I'm a college professor, and I taught a class on this subject, and I had my students do a weekend screen free. And that was the beginning of this concept of, you know, a 48-hour digital fast in the same way that you would do a, you know, people do like a juice cleanse diet, right? Or you do these various things where you fast from something as a way of sort of, you know, cleaning out your system. But the idea is not to remove these things from your life, because as you're saying, most people's jobs rely on this kind of connectivity. So the question is, how can you have a mindful approach to this stuff? What time is it okay to shut your device down and go to sleep? You know, if we take as a given that you're not going to be responding to emails while you're driving your car, even though a lot of people do, and you're not going to be responding to emails and texts and social media when you're sleeping, are there other times in your day where you can say, you know what, I need a sort of mental health break, I'm going to take 15 minutes and step away from my device, or recognizing that maybe multitasking, maybe doing six things at the same time is less productive than just doing one thing at a time. But it's very challenging because our devices allow us to do six, seven, 10 things at a time. And we need to bring some discipline to that, not as a way of doing less, but as a way of being more focused. It's not even about using it less per se, but using it in a different way. And that's something, again, I think we're just starting to learn about these different ways of using it, because it's almost like this shiny toy that we're all still so excited about using that we can't quite control ourselves. You know what I mean?
No, that's true. I mean, look, I know there's science behind this and the endorphin rush that when you get that beep or that click, and I'm sure you'll probably talk a little bit about that, but there is a moment of that feel good, right? Hey, somebody wants me. Somebody's connecting with me at that moment. And you do Facebook, you do Twitter, you do Snapchat. I don't care what you do in terms of social media. Mm-hmm. It's an affirmation. And when you take that away, it changes your psyche a little.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there are studies about this that every time you go from one, let's say you're sitting at your desk and you've got a window open on your, you know, on your browser, every time you go to a different window, you get a little rush, you get a little endorphin hit, but you also exhaust neurons in your brain. And you have a finite number of those kind of available to you every day. They get sort of replenished when you sleep. So you've got, I think it's something like 400 of those a day to use. And once you use them up, you start to become really worn out and exhausted. And I think I can certainly say this, and I think probably most of your listeners can relate to this, when you have a really internet-heavy day or a really whatever phone-heavy day, or you're just doing a lot on your devices, you have this really exhausted feeling. It's not physical exhaustion. It's not the same as, you know, laboring outside all day or exercising, but it's this really kind of just strung out, worn out feeling. It does not feel good. And I think a lot of people have that feeling every day. And that's because you're doing that clicking away and, you know, going from task to task to task, and it's not the sort of deep focus that really comes about when you're just doing one thing at a time. It's this scattered feeling, and it's not productive. And so that's something that I say too, you know, to I think sometimes employers are hesitant to have me talk to their employees because they think, oh, you're going to tell them not to do so much work. And it's really not about that. It's about doing mindful, focused, kind of deeper focus work and less skimming the surface.
And I think that's where maybe the disconnect is sometimes, right, is that, and I'll break this down a little bit, from high producers to maybe your average producer. We won't even talk about the low producers if we want to say at this point. But the high producers don't want to miss anything. They want to be able to be responsive. You know, in this age, and it's true, even I see this in business, if you take too long to respond to somebody today, they'll move on to somebody else. I mean, it's not even a question. It's like if they don't get an immediate response within whatever reasonable time period, whatever reasonable is, and by definition is the problem, then it's a problem. So the high producers are all, you know, concerned about that. And you get the medium producers who are like, well, you know, it feels good, as you said, right? It feels good to make that happen. How do you start right at the beginning of saying, how do we get people to think differently, and how do we change that type of mindset?
Right. Well, that's a great question. And so, you know, again, I'll go back to the name of my company, 48-Hour Digital Fast. I highly recommend this to anybody who can do it. And I will stress can do it, because I understand not everybody has the ability or the luxury to take a weekend off or 2 days off from their connection. But if you can do it, if you can designate a weekend where you go camping with your family or you just, you know, you participate in some kind of outdoor activity or just have a nice, relaxed weekend at home reading and gardening, if you can do it, if you can shut down your devices, turn off your TV, don't check in with work, one weekend out of the year, it's amazing what you learn about your own relationship to the technology. And I've done this, I try to do this, you know, a couple weekends a year, and I realize, wow, I spend, you know, when I'm a professor, so I spend a lot of time grading and lesson planning and doing research, and while I'm doing that, I take these constant social media breaks where I check in on things or I read the news or I do this, and I realize how much I do that when I take a break from it. So it's almost like you realize what your habits are and what things you don't really need to have as part of your day and what things you do. And when you come out on the other side of the digital fast, you can maybe change your habits. So, for example, one thing I've taken away is when I wake up in the morning, I try to give myself about a 15 to 20-minute buffer zone where I just have my cup of coffee and I don't turn anything on yet, and I kind of just get myself ready for the day. And what I used to do was, before I even woke up, I would turn on my phone and just sit there in bed for who knows how long, just kind of scrolling through things. Do you really need to do that in the morning? Or can you get your day off to sort of a healthier start? In the evening, can you shut down maybe half an hour or an hour before you go to bed? Again, just to kind of go back to some studies, there's a lot of sleep studies that suggest that people who fall asleep looking at screens have much less quality sleep because the light from the screen actually confuses your body. Your body thinks that it's daylight, and it produces it inhibits the production of melatonin, which helps you to sleep. And it really, you know, it physically causes you to have a worse night's sleep. And these are things that are directly connected to your ability to work and be productive the next day. I completely understand your point that some people need to be connected more than others, and I think those people just have higher level challenges. But I think everybody can learn something from the information that I convey about being a little more mindful in your approach. If you're, like you're saying, a very a high-level user or someone who has a lot of responsibility and needs to be available all the time, can you build in shorter parts of your day? Or can you have more? One thing that I've taken away from this is I try to do more concentrated time. So that it allows me, so when I'm working, I'm working, and when I'm not working, I'm really sort of, you know, I'm not online, I'm not connected.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
It's challenging.
It is. It's a challenge. And it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think back even before we really had, you know, if you want to call it the light digital age when we were AOL and the short times.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at work taking a cruise, right? And my wife and I took a cruise. And, of course, at that time, there was really no internet like there is today, and you couldn't, if you went on a cruise, you actually did a digital fast because there was really no way to get in touch with anyone out on a cruise ship for three
right.
or 4 days, right? And I did come back thinking from that, wow, that was amazing. I can't actually believe it other than I was initially the first day or two trembling and twitching and all sorts of
exactly.
things. I was going crazy and not having information in my hand. But I also learned, as I suspect people will, is that the world continues. And that you're actually better off allowing your teams and your organizations to learn and grow during that time and seeing what they do. So there is a plus side to this from what we're talking about.
I think that's a great point. And I think that if, again, if you can, and, you know, I say 48 hours, but you can do a lunchtime digital fast. You can do a six-hour digital fast. I mean, you can really apply it in any way that works for you. And, you know, one thing I find, a problem that I have, you know, I'm a huge coffee drinker, and so I'm often waiting in line for coffee or going to get coffee. And while I'm standing in line, I look at my phone. And when I'm on a digital fast, I just kind of stand there and let myself think. And a lot of times I come up with, believe it or not, I come up with new ideas, you know, instead of just mindlessly looking at my phone or playing a game or something. Those little moments of downtime are oftentimes where you get ideas. You might solve a problem at work. You might come up with something that you need to say to someone that you forgot. When you let your mind rest like that, it's not just, you know, mindless spacing out. That's actually when some of your best thinking happens. And I think our devices sort of deny us that time for our brain to process things.
We're talking with Jeff Stern. He is the founder of 48-Hour Digital Fast. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
When things come out of left field, having a game plan makes all the difference. Luckily, Farmers Insurance has been helping people cover their bases for 88 years, and they can help you too. Talk with an agent today so you can see if your coverage is ready for whatever curveballs may come your way. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because, well, we've seen a thing or two. Put our experience into play at Farmers.com. Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Farmers.com.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Jeff Stern. He is the founder of 48-Hour Digital Fast. That's right, 48 hours of no digital, no phones, no TV, no laptop, no anything that has to do with a screen. I realize some of you are right now beginning to tremble at the thought. I also recognize that some of you have said to yourself, that's crazy. I'm telling you it's not. It's a really good idea, and that's why we brought Jeff on the show. Right, Jeff?
Yes, and yes, it is a great idea to have me on the show. I agree. and, yeah, trembling that you're describing, those kind of withdrawal symptoms, I think is something that I can certainly relate to, having gone on this before and seen other people do it. And, you know, it's in some ways we sort of joke about it, but in other ways I think, you know, there are some comparisons to be made with people who have addictions, right? I mean, some people are truly addicted to their devices. We've all seen someone who realizes in horror that they left their phone at home when they're out somewhere. Even if they don't really need it, it's kind of like this lifeline that people need. And again, I want to be really clear that some people really do need to be available for various reasons. But part of doing this exercise is kind of realizing what you need and maybe what you can live without and how you can have a more again, mindful relationship with your device.
Well, it's also talking about balance, right? So there is a work-life balance. Maybe this should be something called the digital life balance. Something where, you know, an organization and individuals in the organization are balanced in their approach digitally as well as within the organization. You know, Jeff, I think it's important for the audience to understand where do you come from in regards to your background on this area. You know, talk to us a little bit about who you are and where this came from.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I am a I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I teach in the media and culture program at Bentley University, which is down in Waltham, Massachusetts. So I teach I teach a lot of classes. Maybe this would sound ironic to some people, but I teach a lot of technology classes. So I teach filmmaking and video and things like that. And a couple of years ago, I started to kind of pay a little more attention to my own digital habits and addictions, as I think a lot of people do. And I started to notice, you know, I have young children, that in different ways, my relationship to my devices was kind of taking away from some of those relationships. I think a lot of people can relate to that, where your sort of the quality time that you spend with people is distracted by, you know, kind of the presence of your phone all the time. So it was affecting those things. It was affecting my sleep, and also kind of making me less productive in some of the ways that I was talking about. Because even though you can be more productive using, obviously, the internet than sort of pre-internet, you know, having everything on one laptop now is it's miraculous and it's so convenient and everything's so available to you. But if you're not disciplined, you can really sort of lose hours and hours into these things. And so all of this was starting to add up, and it was causing some stress in my life. And so one night, you know, at 11:30, I was just kind of sitting there flipping through my phone, and I realized maybe I should teach a class about this. You know, as a professor, a lot of times the way I work things out is to say, I want to know what college students are thinking about this. And there were all these books starting to be written about this, and so I said, I'd like to teach a class about this. And so I proposed the class, and I got students to sign up for it. And on the first day of class, I said, so guys, we're going to be doing this and this and this in the class, and this was a fall semester class. And in November, we're going to go on a digital fast, where everybody is going to put their devices away, you're going to put them in a drawer for 48 hours, and we're going to do a screen-free weekend. And they all just kind of looked at me in panic and stunned silence, and I really thought they were all just going to get up and drop the class right then, just kind of walk out of the room, because this was something no one had ever really asked them to do, and the whole idea of it was just shocking to them. But they stuck with it, and they did it, and we all did the 48-hour digital fast together, and I had them keep a journal and kind of write about it, and I did it as well, and I got some of my peers to do it. And after the weekend was over, we all sort of talked about it. And that was really the valuable part of the experience, was kind of examining what was good about it, what was hard about it, in what ways did they fail. And the point that I was trying to make with it was not that technology is bad, not that it would, you know, life would be better without our devices, but that by doing this kind of extreme break from them, we can really learn what we're addicted to, and we can learn what's great about them, you know? For example, one thing that I found really hard was not being able to use my GPS. I mean, we're all so attached to that, but the flip side of that was I actually learned a lot more about finding my way around my own town, and now I don't really need it as much. I mean, do we really need to always be looking down to figure out where we're going, or can we actually pay more attention to our surroundings and learn sort of the natural way to get around? I definitely found, and my students all said they slept much better that weekend than they normally did. Some of them said it was really hard to figure out what to do because they couldn't get in touch with each other. And so you kind of learn what's needed and what's not needed about our devices. And so I really enjoyed this experience, and I started to talk to organizations, other schools about it, and that grew into my work with companies and kind of talking with different HR departments, and I went to the Granite State HR conference this year, and sort of started spreading the word about this there, and a lot of companies were very. I think this has struck a chord with a lot of people. Everybody seems to be thinking about this now, our digital habits and our digital relationships. And so the 48-hour digital fast is not necessarily a required break from your devices, but it's a way of talking about what we learn in our relationships should you choose to do something like this. So I want to be clear about that part of it, that if I do go and talk to a company, it's not required that they do a 48-hour digital fast. It's more sort of lessons learned from that process.
No, and certainly I think that that's important, from an organization to look at this. I think what you're really talking about is how people can, in one way, become more productive, become more efficient at what they're doing because they're more focused. I mean, how much productive? I know there's a lot of research that will say that, taking away from productivity, there's also research that says it improves productivity. So, look, I can find a study on anything, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when
mm-hmm.
butter was bad and then margarine was good, now margarine's bad and butter's good. So you can always find a study, right, that will tell you, depending on who's paying for the study, whatever you want to hear. But I think everybody realizes in this case that digital habits make a difference in how people react and how people do what they need to do. When you're doing your events and talking to organizations as well as individuals, what are some of the hesitations that people really feel other than the fact of the anxiousness?
Well, I think that people are worried that, I think here's an example of something someone might say. Sure, I would love to take a break from my phone, but I just don't have that luxury. I need to be available, all day long. I need to be available on the weekends. I need to be available when I'm on vacation. I can't really take any of your advice. I think that that's probably a reality for some people, but I think it's also worth considering that this is a health issue as well, that if you're not getting good sleep, that if you're stressed, you're going to be getting sick more, you're not going to be able to, work as much, and ultimately that's going to result in you being less productive. So is there a way, whether it's from the top down or just something that employees can do for themselves, where you can acknowledge that too much of this might be unhealthy, and not only that, you're actually being more productive and more efficient if you do it a little less. If you're more focused, if you have a deeper focus. I mean, you're talking about studies. There's another study that says, and a lot of reputable studies back this up, that multitasking is not actually effective. It's not an effective way to get quality work done. Sure, we all have to do it sometimes. And sometimes if you're doing kind of surface-level stuff, just kind of firing off email responses and stuff that doesn't really require your full, deep attention, that's fine. We all do that. We all have to do it. But if you're really problem-solving on a deeper level, you're working on a sort of a multi-day project or something that's big, every study suggests that if you can focus just on that, if you can give that your attention, every time you move away from it, every time you click away or go to something else, when you come back to that thing you were working on, you've just doubled your chances of making a mistake on it. So every time you do that, you're sort of half there. You're half engaged with it. Wouldn't it be nice to be fully engaged with something if that is the important thing that you're working on?
We're talking, of course, with Jeff Stern, and he is the founder of 48-Hour Digital Fast. Jeff, as we look at healthy digital habits, if we look at a balanced, mindful approach to our devices, what are some of the comments people are making when they've done this for 48 hours, when they've done this for a day? What are some of the things that people come back and say, hey, this is worth it because?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I would say that a lot of people describe this feeling of being refreshed. Kind of almost like you've come up for air. There's this feeling you have when you're deep into social media or the internet or just whatever your digital work is, that you're sort of overwhelmed because you're bombarded. You can't you can't ever keep up with news feeds, for example, whether it's literally the sort of news or it's your social media feed or, you know, your email inbox. I mean, yes, there are things you need to attend to, but there is also this sense that you have to prioritize to some extent. You can't really ever get caught up with everything. And so when you let that, you know, obviously in a responsible way, let that go for a weekend. And by the way, whenever I sort of facilitate digital fasts, I spend time with people getting them prepared for it. You know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it is. It's like having an out of office, the way you would prepare to go on vacation, you know, where you tell people that you're doing it, you have an auto reply, you let people, important people in your life, know how to get in touch with you, so you can feel comfortable and confident that you can go offline for this amount of time without being stressed about it. And so when you do that and you return, there's this sense that your priorities are a little straighter. You know, here's what I really missed and here's what I didn't miss at all. I didn't really need to read about the latest scandal. I didn't really need to check all that stuff that seems so important to me minute to minute. And again, like you've described, there is that initial period, that sort of twitchy, you know, withdrawal period where you feel like, oh, what am I missing right now? You know, the kids talk about FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Like, what am I missing right now? Well, you're always going to be missing something, right? And if you can kind of let that go and just sort of be more present wherever you are, it actually feels much, much calmer, right? People report that sense of being calm and this peace of mind that they have, and that really lasts for, you know, quite a while. And you go to work on Monday feeling refreshed and feeling like you're able to really see what's important in your work, in your life, in your relationships.
No, it really does, and it makes a huge difference for somebody who, you know, really can, as you say, get addicted to these type of devices and these types of systems. I think organizations probably haven't necessarily thought about this as much as they probably should. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it in the next segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock. And it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Jeff Stern. 48-hour Digital Fast is his company. And he does speaking and workshops across many organizations and really talks about how to make a better, healthy digital habit and how to change your life for the better. Jeff, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about yet is the community aspect of this. You do a program called the Seacoast Digital Fast. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So one thing, you know, that I learned with my students when I did this in my college course is that doing a digital fast is much easier the more people in your immediate life and community are doing it with you. It's more difficult to do just on your own. So if you can get everyone in your family to do it, that's better. If you can get your, you know, sort of social circle to do it, all the better, because, you know, then you're not missing out on texting with each other. Everybody's just kind of doing the same thing. And so I took that to the next level last summer. Like I said, I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I got together with a group of people and kind of just community-minded people, and we created the Seacoast Digital Fast. We did it the first weekend of August last summer, and it was a challenge to the greater Portsmouth, Kittery, Seacoast community to, again, have this screen-free weekend. And the idea was, if we can get enough people doing this sort of critical mass, it will be this. It'll be much easier for people because it will be something that everyone is doing. And it actually went really well. There were some nice screen-free events. We had a couple of, screen-free cocktail hours where, you know, I have to say, it's very strange to be in a restaurant or a bar and not see anyone on their phone.
Because
we're so used to that. It's almost the way it used to be with smoking in bars, where now if you see that, it looks very strange, but it used to just be the way everything was. It was kind of the same thing, looking around and seeing no one looking down at their screen. And I have to say, it's really nice to make eye contact with people. It's really nice to not have someone be distracted by a million things on their device, but just kind of present in the moment. And so that was the idea with the Seacoast Digital Fast, that we had these kind of outdoor activities. We had some, you know, happy hours and things like that. And everything was for people who were taking a break from their devices. And, you know, obviously there were some people who couldn't do it. Some people chose to go away camping for that weekend. Or various things, but it went well enough that we're going to be doing it again this summer. So it's going to be the first weekend of August again. We're doing it, and we've got a little bit more people involved in it. We've got some sponsorship, and so we're hoping it's going to be a bigger activity. And the way this funnels into my work giving talks to companies is every time I do this, I'm able to kind of get more reactions from people and more data about this, and kind of I do sort of a decompression afterwards, where I gather people who went on the digital fast and I talk to them about, you know, what'd you learn, what was hard, what was good about it, and I incorporate that into the talks I give. And that's the best way to get information about this is to talk to people who do it. So that's kind of what that's all about.
Well, at times it can be scary, right? No phones, no tablets, no computers, no internet, no TV. I mean, it is kind of scary, but when you say, hey, you get to actually talk to people, it's actually not as scary as you could actually think. When you really put in that perspective, it's interesting. Once people get past the point of, what do I say now, right? Mm-hmm. What do I say now? People that start connecting totally differently. I always am amazed when people text them to people that are sitting next to. Right? Rather
exactly.
than have that conversation. And so this is a way of reconnecting at a more intimate level.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, we've all seen the situation where, you know, I just took my son to a game at Fenway Park, you know, and you see people at an event like that where it's, you know, Fenway Park is this beautiful baseball field and, you know, you're there enjoying the game, and yet there are people who are kind of taking pictures the whole time and filming it the whole time and not ever actually just enjoying the thing itself. Or you'll see someone at an art museum who is taking up, you know, they're looking at the pieces of art through their phone. And when you remove that sort of filter in front of you, you realize that the real thing is actually better, you know? I mean, if you're not there, it's great to be able to access it through your device. But when you're actually there, you know, at the Grand Canyon in this beautiful ocean or wherever you are, remember to look at the actual thing. And I think that that's something you learn when you don't have the option of having your device with you.
No, it's true. And you do kind of take it out of context, right, when it's on a phone. And you're right, if somebody is taking that because they can't be there and they're looking at it, that makes sense. You know, a lot of people think that the sharing of the information is, you know, becomes very important to them. They want to share things. You know, how does, when you're thinking about this fasting, how does it take somebody's personal connection to the world, and how do you deal with people saying, hey, I like to share my life, albeit sometimes I may add appropriately or inappropriately?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what happened to me the first time I went on a digital fast. When I did it, we were going from 5:30 p.m. on Friday to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, and as I was getting ready to shut down my phone, you know, as the clock was ticking down to 5:30, I had the thought, oh, this is great. I'll take a picture of myself shutting down my phone, and then I'll share it on social media, and I'll read all the comments that people have about it. And I had to remind myself, no, that's the whole point. You're not doing that, but you're so stuck into that way of thinking about things that gets back to that quote that I have on my website. If a tree falls in the woods and no one tweets about it, does it make a sound? I think we're in this way of thinking right now where if, you know, I spend a lot of time with college students being a college professor, and I hear them talk about their social life, and I know that there's this way of thinking about social gatherings where it didn't happen if it wasn't shared on social media. And, you know, it's great to share pictures of your kids if that's what you want to do, or, you know, people who maybe live hundreds of miles away and want to connect with you. I mean, Facebook is great for that. But I think there's a line probably where you're missing out on sort of participating in things that are happening now because you're so caught up in documenting it. And I think that that's something you realize when you go on a digital fast, that, oh yeah, maybe I do that a little bit more than I should, right? There's nothing wrong with sharing pictures, like you said, unless it's inappropriate. These are things that can haunt you when you're applying for jobs. But as long as it is appropriate, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think everybody has to ask themselves, am I maybe doing this more than I should at the expense of enjoying my life a little bit more or being more present with the people in my life? I think we all know somebody who just can't take their eyes off their device. And, you know, that person might learn something by going on a digital fast about, yeah, maybe I do that a little bit more than I should, right? And it's not about, I'm very careful to not be judgmental about this because I'm as guilty of it as anyone. I think it's all about sort of figuring out what your own habits are and deciding what's healthy for you.
And I think that's the key to this, right? You're not saying to somebody, hey, you have to do X, Y, Z. You're saying take a break from it. Take a break from it, just like you would take a break from many other things that you might do. You know, a break from work. Right, it's a place for you to go to get away and recharge, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Right, and again, you know, there's if you have the time, if you have the luxury to do the 48-hour digital fast, I highly recommend it. And if you don't, I have lots of sort of, you know, shorter term, day-to-day prescriptions for ways that you can improve or examine your digital habits.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and of course, we're talking with Jeff Stern, 48-hour digital fast. We'll be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I want to thank our sponsors, as I try to do every week. Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. Rudman Winchell, counselors at law. Sheehan Finney, Verrill Dana, and Strategic HR at MaineHR.com. Our sponsors make it possible every week for us to bring you great educational programming. So we've been talking, of course, with Jeff Stearns. He's the founder of 48-Hour Digital Fast. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the two programs that you do for companies, typically a lunch and learn.
Yeah, so there are two main formats that I offer to companies. And the one that's more popular is I'll do a lunch and learn, either a 60 or a 90-minute talk. And so the way this works is I will send a survey to the company in advance where I ask about various questions about digital habits, both at work and personally. And I will use that, I'll kind of incorporate that data, and I will customize my talk for the company that I'm talking to. So I can kind of address specifically what challenges might be for them. So maybe the company wants to talk more about work-life balance. Maybe they want to talk about productivity or focus at work if they have an issue with employees who are distracted. So, you know, I will many of the things that we've been talking about today are part of the talk, but I also try to make it specifically geared towards what that company is working on. So there is an interactive aspect to the talk. And then I will sort of leave them with prescriptions for them, you know, sort of ways to address things that they consider to be challenges or problems in the way people are interacting with their devices. So that's one format. And like I said, that's what most companies hire me to do. I do also offer a facilitated 48-hour digital fast. So this is obviously a much more immersive kind of experience. And this kind of works best if a company, this works one of two ways. The first way is if a company really just likes the idea of the 48-hour digital fast, and, you know, it really is, I think, part of, I think, what a lot of companies think of as a health issue, you know, where maybe their employees are burnt out. Maybe they're having various issues with people just being stressed or a lot of people sick because they're working so much or they're not sleeping as well, and they want to say, hey, you know what? We want to do this as a company. We want to kind of give everybody the ability to say, we're not going to ask anything of you this particular weekend. We're going to let everyone shut their devices down, almost as a kind of like a bonus of some kind. And so what I'll do with companies who want to do that is I'll come in and give a version of my talk where I talk about going on a 48-hour digital fast. I'll prepare them for it, you know, have them. It's funny. Some people are really panicked about doing it, and I try to set their mind at ease and say, you know, look, this is going to be a good experience. You know, I mean, once you let people know you're doing it, it can be very calm and peaceful weekend for you. So enjoy it, and I'll kind of get them ready for it. This is kind of funny, but I have a hotline where people can call me if they're having a really hard time, you know, almost like you call like someone for support. So I give them a hotline number, so I'm available to them that weekend, and then I'll come in and talk to the company after the digital fast is over. And just as with my students, I find that this is the most beneficial part of the whole experience, kind of decompressing afterwards, letting people talk about what was hard, what was good about it, what they learned, and that's often the biggest takeaway that people have when they come out the other side of the digital fast, are they going to change any of the habits that they have? Another way that this works is actually as almost like a retreat, where a company will have something that they're, so let's say it's like a marketing company and they're working on a product that they need to come up with some concept around, and they really want to do a company retreat, the digital fast can actually be great for that too, because they're not distracted by anything else. They're just focusing on this creative work that they're doing, whatever it is. They're trying to solve some problem, and that can work really well with the digital fast as well. So no devices, no connecting to outside things, but also not a break from work, just a very different, a very focused approach to work. So those are a couple of different ways that I work with companies.
Okay, and that really provides a great overview. Where can people find your information on your website?
Go to my site, and even though I talk about taking a break from technology and being mindful, I still find that, you know, the digital realm is the best way to get the word out there for me. So you can go to my site. It's 48hour.com. You can read all about what I do, about the workshops I have. There's a sample of one of my talks that I gave on there. You can read some press. So everything is there on my site, and all my contact information is there as well. So that's really the best way to get in touch with me. And I would just say, for people who are in the Seacoast area, consider doing the Seacoast Digital Fast the first weekend of August. I'll be around all that weekend too. So I encourage people who are interested in this to give it a try if they can make it work with their schedule.
Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Again, Jeff Stern with 48-Hour Digital Fast. I think you provided something that people have to think about and really digest and really think about what they're doing with their digital health. And that's, of course, a huge topic, I think, today. So thank you so much for providing that information to us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the time.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Good morning. This is Richard Moon of Veral Dana's Employment and Labor Law Group. Are you puzzled by the lack of civility in society today? Supposedly at this time, public institutions are demanding and enforcing civility codes. But at the same time, your National Labor Relations Board is encouraging disparaging and demeaning language in the workplace. Through decisions redefining the National Labor Relations Act protections for concerted activity, that is, actions by multiple employees or on behalf of multiple employees, the board is striking down any code of conduct which precludes employees from making demeaning or even vulgar statements about their supervisors or their employer, if those statements are in the context of the employment setting. Civility codes have existed for years and required employees to treat fellow employees and managers with respect. Those codes are now illegal. The board's actions will simply contribute to a more fractionized and ugly society. So if you care about civility and decent treatment of people, let your senators know that we need the new board members to the National Labor Relations Board confirmed right away.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Lynn Siska, Director of Sales for New England Document Systems, is going to be talking about moving your organization from a paper world to a digital world, the pros and cons, the ways to make it better, and the ways to do it efficiently. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.